Hi, welcome to the Storyworth podcast. We're glad you're here. I'm your host, Krista Baum, co-founder of Storyworth. On this podcast, we feature true stories written by Storyworth writers. If you're new to Storyworth, we help people write their life stories, the big stories and the small ones. Once a week, we send our writers a question to help inspire their writing. They reply to the email with an answer or story that comes to mind. At the end of the year, we print what they've written into a beautiful keepsake book. Every story written using Storyworth is private. But for this podcast, the writers volunteered to share their stories publicly with you. And today, I'm joined by Steven Steinberg, who submitted several stories to the podcast about his grandpa Jake. And they painted a picture of this resilient and funny and imaginative person who we wanted to know more about. So we asked Steve to come on the pod and talk about what it was like to grow up with such an amazing grandpa. But first, he's going to read a letter that his grandpa Jake wrote to him 40 years ago, right after Steve's son Michael was born.
The wit and wisdom of venerable grandpa Jake is part of me right down to my very marrow. He was deeply and emotionally invested in family. We corresponded via letter from time to time. Each letter was heart to heart and poignant. I saved every one of them. Here is one from my memorabilia box that I particularly cherish about parenthood and our then 7-month-old son, Michael. I used his wording verbatim to preserve the old world Eastern European charm. This letter was dated September 15, 1983, Paterson, New Jersey. To my dear Barbara, Barbara is my wife, Stephen, and son, Mike. I'm reading your last letter to me with the enclosure of your 7-month-old son's photo. Please let me, in my poorest translation, send you a few lines from a poem which was written a long time ago by one of our Jewish poets by the name of Morris Rosenfeld. His book of songs was translated by Professor Leon Weiner from Harvard under the name Song of the Ghetto. Here's the passage. I have a beautiful little child, but I'm very old. I have a chance to see him, but I'm out of the house early every day. But when I see him, I feel the whole world is mine. My darling wife tells me how lovely the child is playing, and he keeps saying, "When can my papa come home?" I found him asleep. I kiss his blue eyes. Now it's Jake's voice. Oh, dear Stephen, I wish I had better knowledge of English. It's really a beautiful song. Just fits to your darling son, Michael. I hope to see him soon. Everything is okay with me. I can't complain. I have a good appetite, sleep good. What can you expect at my age? Kiss my darling Michael for me. Love, Grandpa Jake.
Stephen, welcome to the podcast. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
Sure. I am living in the North Shore of the beautiful state of Massachusetts. And right now, I'm happy and busy with three different jobs. One is a professor in the Gerrish Business School at Endicott College up here. I also have a small marketing agency. And then I also moonlight at Home Depot. And I wrote this Storyworth book, which is, as I mentioned to many people, and I glow about it. It's the gift that keeps giving.
Oh, yeah. How did you end up with Storyworth? How did you end up?
It was a Father's Day gift.
Oh, great.
And in the preface of my book, I thank my son, David. I have 4 children, and David gave me the best gift of my life because it gave me a chance to sort of reflect on my life and my family fortune, which is one of the themes of my grandpa, Jake, who I think we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds like a real page turner.
I hope so. It's in my voice anyway. So it's
Right. You said you're an adjunct professor. What do you teach again?
I teach master's business. I teach courses in real estate leasing and entrepreneurial marketing.
So offline, you told us about the Celebrate Lineage Project. Tell us what that is and how did you get involved?
Sure. Endicott College has a tremendous community and they have themes every year and they use those themes to reach out to faculty and staff and students to contribute. A recent theme was Celebrate Your Lineage, where they invited everyone into a sound studio to record a story about some part of their lineage. So I was taped, and then that tape was ultimately sent to the Library of Congress, where it lives.
Wow. It sounds like a really great project.
And one of the reasons why I love teaching, because it's so energizing and gratifying and learn as much from the students as hopefully they learn from me.
You know, I remember, so I was a TA in college and I TA'd for an MBA class and an undergraduate. And I agree. It's like, there's so much energy and possibility and it's just a great kind of phase of
life. It really is. So, you know, I describe myself as, you know, I'm not sure if I'm an entertainer or an educator,
I know.
If after 10 years you remember, but if after 10 years you remember one thing from the class, I've done my job and we'll see after 10 years.
Well, tell us more about Jake. You said he came over in the 30s. Tell us more about what.
He came over in 1933 from Lodz. Lodz is one of the largest cities in Poland. He saw the writing on the wall as to what was coming. It was the imminent Holocaust and the pogroms, which were the ghettos, and then the ostracizing of Jews, and then the concentration camps. We all know that. So fortunately, he had the foresight.
How young was he? How young was he in 1933?
Well, I want to say he was late 20s. One of the pictures that I have is him in his youth when he first came over to Ellis Island. He came over. He established himself. He ultimately sponsored a number of family members to come over since he had bought a few residences in Patterson, helped them get on their feet, get settled, and earn their own lives here in the United States. And he saved a number of family members gallantly, but not everyone. There was one horror story where my aunt, uncle, and cousin survived a labor camp. The uncle went back to his home after surviving the labor camp only to be accosted by squatters and killed. He went back to reclaim his home and they wouldn't allow him to return. So his own neighbors, that occurred. So he wasn't able to save everyone, but he did save a number of family members that were part of our Sunday gatherings.
That is what foresight to not only leave, but then also, you know, establish himself so that he had the means of bringing everybody else over.
It was, you know, one of the life lessons that I cherish from him, the concept of family fortune. Your family is your fortune. And he lived it.
Beautiful. Did he get to meet his grandson?
Yes, he absolutely did. My grandfather lived to be about 91, and I think Mike was around for about those last 3 years.
Yeah, obviously, it still makes you emotional. Do you remember reading that letter for the first time and how you felt?
Oh, yes. It just jumps off the page for me, and it reminds me of him, and I had the privilege of growing up with him and seeing him every day.
Did you live nearby or did they raise you?
We lived in the same house. He lived on the first floor and we lived on the second floor. So got to see him every day and I was constantly amused.
That's awesome. We lived very close to some in-laws and extended family. And I really missed that phase. So there's something really special about kind of that multi-generational
neighborhood. Yeah. Every Sunday, we were the focal point. All the family came to our house because that's where Grandpa Jake and Grandma Masha was. And we had a big yard. And so we were always together on Sunday afternoons, playing and eating and kibitzing, as they say in Yiddish.
What was it like growing up with him?
Constant entertainment. He fixed everything, but it wasn't fixing as much as beating things into submission.
the square peg will fit into the round hole. Have you hit it enough?
In the process, he invented a few crazy things. He also built our basketball court, which was a focal point with the yard for endless dawn to dusk basketball games. He didn't know anything about basketball, but he would do this for me. He paved the driveway, drove on the pavement while it was still hot. So the driveway was wavy and the rim was 10.5 feet high. What we had was a basketball court that was wavy and high, which is probably the reason why none of us made the NBA. And the ball went everywhere.
Going in every direction. That's kind of great.
He also jury-rigged when he was losing his eyesight but still driving. He wouldn't hit the brake in time when he got into the garage, and he would tap the wall, the garage. So he built this trash can top. He put on a rope, and it dangled about 5 feet from the wall. And when he heard that clang, he knew it was time to stop the car.
Oh my gosh, I'm picturing like a giant gong, you know?
And I'll tell you, I have a friend in Seattle who to this day does the same thing. Mm, absolutely.
That's so great. Tell us about, you mentioned you were living with your grandmother also. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, the grandma, Jake and Masha were my grandparents on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. And they ran the knitting and fabric store, Washington Dress and Yarn. And she was just a lovely, lovely lady that made us lunch twice a week when we came home because my parents were working, and was just warm and sweet and quiet. Jake did all the talking. But I'll tell you, when they came home from knitting Washington Knitting and Fabric, if it was a hot summer day, Jake would sit in the window to get some fresh air with a 6-inch Knickerbocker beer cup, a six ounce cup. And he would say, Stephen, the King of England doesn't live better than this.
Aww.
He was feeling like the richest man in the world with that 6 ounce Knickerbocker cup beer.
That's really sweet. He seems like a really content guy.
He loved family. At his 90th birthday, he got up and extemporaneously spoke for probably 45 minutes at 90, very sharp. And we were all mesmerized for 45 minutes by this 90-year-old man. The world according to Jake. And we were lucky enough to hear it.
Well, thanks for sharing Jake with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want to get started writing your own book of life stories or want to give the gift of Storyworth to a loved one, head over to storyworth.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another heartfelt story from one of our writers. In the meantime, if you want one of your stories to be considered for the podcast, head to storyworth.com/podcast. Storyworth is a production of Evergreen Podcasts, hosted by me, Krista Baum, and produced by Aaron Land. Our sound engineer is Nate Corson, and we get production help from Wendy Sabroso. Thanks, team. We'll see you next time.